sir. Now, what is your name before we get started, sir?
Kevin Charles Chavarria.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. David Neal will conduct your hearing at this time, sir, so just hold on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for record, please?
Kevin Charles Chavarria, ADC number 258961.
Thank you, sir. You appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to committee supervision revocation?
Yeah.
I may introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman, the Honorable Bill Rittenhouse, the Honorable Michael Johnson, and the Honorable Dale.
Hello.
And the Honorable Louis Canones. My name is David Neal, and I'll be conducting the hearing today. Also with us in the boardroom, we have the Honorable Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today.
Okay.
Okay, sir, I don't know, we're going to do this as a question rather than our normal what I do is, did you receive a notification form about the date of this hearing?
No.
Okay. Because you did not receive that form, you have a choice here. We can proceed with the hearing, and that is your choice, or you can continue the hearing so you can do preparation for it. It's totally up to you. I just need to know whether you want to continue with the hearing today or have the hearing continue to a new date.
I think it'll be okay if we do it now.
Okay. Can I ask you to speed up just a little bit as we go along?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so on that form, you would have been notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. So if you hire an attorney, sir, or you're representing yourself today?
Yes, representing myself.
Okay, thank you, sir. So this time I'm swearing you and Mr. Westby in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
And you?
Yes.
Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And then in phase two, we will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So what I'm going to do for phase one is I'm going to read the three allegations that are on your warrant. And as each one, I'm going to ask you if they're true or false, okay?
Okay.
All right. Allegation number one is a violation of the order of condition of supervision number seven, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a saliva swab for drug testing on or about November 26, 2018 for the task oral fluid chain of custody form dated November 26, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
I don't even understand what that means.
Okay, I mean, apparently on November 26th, somebody that you were dealing with let them do a mouth swab for saliva. Instead of a urine analysis?
Yes.
And apparently you refused to do that?
Okay. I did tell him no, but I had just barely got out of the hospital. I overdosed on meth, and I was pretty out of it. But it is true.
You still, okay. And in phase two, you can give us more details, okay?
Okay.
All right, so allegation number two, violation of the condition of supervision number seven, is demonstrated by the use of methamphetamines on or about November 15, 2018, for that task GCMS lab report dated November 20, 2018. That true or false, sir?
Yes, true.
Okay, now allegation number three is violation of the condition of supervision number seven, is demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about November 25, 2018, for self-admission on November 26, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
Okay. Based on the admissions of Mr. Chavarria, I am going to notify that he is delinquent as he violated the term and condition of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or was not lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
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 Motion by myself, second by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright. Mr. Canales, please read now. Okay, sir, we're going to move into phase two in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Westby is going to give some background information. So just stay on the phone there, and I'll be right back with you, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Westby.
This is Sean Gordon, Wisconsin, Arizona Department of Corrections, on October 11th, 2018. He was arrested November 26, 2018, by the EDC staff. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on November 26, 2018, with a projected community supervision end date of March 13, 2020. Zero scan days. Current conviction, 2010, sexual conduct with a minor, 10 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 3-4, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted member of the Dupa Via Eastside Criminal Street Gang. Prior terms of supervision are none. His disciplinary violations are moderate, drugs, alcohol, disorderly conduct, and violence noted. Other arrest. 1997, narcotic drug violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2009, DUI, Arizona, disposition unknown. His community risk score was a G4B4. Mr. Chaparilla is a level 3 sex offender, registerable, notifiable, SVP reviewable. The victim was a 13-year-old female, dangerous crimes against children, was cited.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Chaparilla, we're going to go over some of the case supervision. So, for residents, on October 11, 2018, your recruit resided at Redeemed Outreach Ministry, 2210 East Taylor in Phoenix, Arizona. And then on October 29, 2018, you were discharged from Redeemed Outreach Ministry for being lazy and refusing to participate with work. So on October 29, 2019, you were approved to reside at To Love One Another, 3702 West Tonto Street in Phoenix, Arizona. And then around November 19, 2018, you were discharged for self-admitted use of methamphetamines. On November 19, 2018, you were approved and directed to reside at homeless status at 16th Street and Buckeye Road in Phoenix, Arizona. That was your last known residence. So, you were discharged there for self-admission of using methamphetamines. And let's see, on the warrant, and so it was just very shortly thereafter that they tried to do get a mouth swab, and that's when you refused, and then not too long after that, on the 25th, 26th, is when you tested or that was your self-admission for methamphetamine. You say you overdosed on meth?
Well, that's why I was in the hospital.
Right, okay, but I mean, you overdosed on meth and that put you in the hospital?
Yes.
Okay, so you obviously have a drug problem.
Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
Have you tried to partake of any of the substance abuse programming and stuff since you...
Well, before I got out, I got released from Cook, I took a drug class called The Truth About Drugs, and I wasn't really out for so long, but I mean, I probably should have, but I do have a drug addiction, and I would really like to get some help. I mean, it was pretty scary when it happened, and I mean, I don't know. I want to try to change because I don't want to end up dead or, you know, something.
Well, during the time you've been incarcerated, had you tried to, other than that one class just before you got out, have you tried to take any, even any AA, any of that stuff?
I believe I had taken an NA before, but when you're in prison, you tend to get moved around, and I've taken a lot of things, but always seem to get moved around, and I can never finish anything. But that one class I did finish, and I had a certificate for it. I still have it to this day out there in the streets.
And most people that get into NA, it's like they do it constantly.
Right.
Same thing with AA. You know, it's not something they take 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 sessions and then that's done. I mean, it's something that once you make that decision, it's pretty much a lifelong thing because you're going to be fighting that that urge to relapse.
Yes.
So, well, hopefully, I mean, you survived your overdose. Hopefully that will have taught you enough of a lesson that you'll really make an effort. But you were, you know, you got out of the hospital and you were, you still admitted to doing it, so you got some work to do. So, you, let's see here.
Well, see, the self-admission when I was doing the drugs, and I told them I had done the drugs. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and lie to them, and you know what I mean?
That's the first step.
Yeah.
You know, the NA and AA are 12-step programs, and the very first step is admission.
Yeah.
I was told that same thing about AIDS. The first thing you can do is admit that you're old.
Right.
But
I do have a problem, and I really would like to get help.
That is the first step. You're admitting that you have a problem and you want to help, because nobody can help you but yourself. They give you all the programs in the world, but if you're not willing to partake and actually, participate and do what the program wants you to do, then you will never be successful with it, you know. So you sound like you've gotten to that point where you're ready to make a change in your life.
Yes, sir.
So I guess you were working for a while at the Southwest Forest Agency?
Yes, sir. And, to tell you the truth, what you were saying about me getting taken away from that love one another about the drug admission, well, see, what really happened was I had a blood clot, I guess, in my leg. That a piece of it went to my right lung, and I think it was St. Joseph's Hospital. I got admitted because I had a blood clot in my lung, and I had to stay there for, I don't know, 4 days or so. And so when I got out, the day that I got out, I was supposed to go and, go to tell them, you know, that why I was in there and show them the papers that I was in the hospital. And that day, I mean, I didn't get out until a little bit later that day, so I didn't go that day. But the following day when I did go, they were like, no, we already replaced you. So, therefore, I lost my job that day. And when I got back to the place, they said, well, this ain't gonna work because you need a job, you need to pay to be here. So it was on a Friday or so, and then they said, well, we're not that mean, we're gonna let you stay here through the weekend, but Monday you have to go. And like I said, I was being honest about the whole thing about being high, and I did tell them. But see, this already had happened before, you know what I'm saying? It that drug thing didn't come up until right after, if I'm not mistaken. So that wasn't so accurate. The reason why I got kicked out of Love One Another was because I lost my job. But I don't know if that matters or not. I just wanted to clear that up.
Well, yeah, they have some pretty strict rules on
all that kind of stuff. Yes,
It seems that you were referred to CHC counseling services, but you missed too many classes, so you were discharged
right on
November 25th for non-participation.
Right.
Now,
I don't know if it's okay to speak, but the reason about that. Okay, I truly wanted to be in a drug class, but just speaking on my behalf, that drug class that I was taking, it wasn't telling you about drugs or explaining anything about drugs or the dangers of the drugs or trying to help you about anything about drugs. In this class, it was mostly like talking about feelings and emotions, and I just didn't feel that it was helping anything about drugs. Like, we weren't talking about drugs in there or the reality of it or how to fix it or anything. We were just basically talking about, you know, what went through when you're little, or you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, but those are the reasons people start in the first place and they get addicted, and the psychological aspects are the reasons that people can't break the habit. And it's, you know, the classes for drug abuse are, they don't sit there and like a textbook teaching you biology or chemistry or something like that. They're
right.
Trying to teach you how to get over the mental aspect of the addiction.
See, I didn't know that. I just thought,
you know, because it only takes a few days to get the chemical out of your system.
Right.
But the addiction is there for a long time, and it's, you know, your mind, your brain gets addicted to the drugs, and it's a psychological addiction. After the chemicals are out, you're still addicted psychologically, so that's what you got to get over. You got to get over the reasons you started, some people are ready to say, I want to quit, and then they get in there and they decide it's not worth quitting, and it's all a psychological thing. And that's where the basis of all that is the psychology of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, well, you have to get some of those classes some time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see if my full movement is going to be present this time. Mr. Canales?
Just a quick one. Mr. Chavarria, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
There's a statement in your warrant, and I just want to understand where you're at the time. But it says during the contact from the hospital visit, Senior Parole Officer Peretta redirected you to submit and provide a saliva specimen for drug testing after being discharged from MMC. You were admitted into the hospital on November 2018 for overdosing on methamphetamine. You stated, nah, man, what for? I'm not doing that shit. So I think you had admitted that you had been using a lot of methamphetamine. I don't understand why you wouldn't take a drug test if you were admitting that you had an overdose.
Well, like I said before, I would have had no problem. Like, the whole time, I was being honest about it. I would have not had a problem doing it. But, like I said, I had just barely got out of the hospital. I had ingested a lot of meth. And I was pretty out of it. Now, I was so high that I said what I said. But, you know, every time I went in there and I told them I was high, and they said, go take a UA. I complied. But like I'm saying, I was just so high and out of it. I ingest a lot of meth.
Well, certainly you didn't break the law by saying that. I know that you were violating conditions.
Right.
But I'm only asking that because it seemed like you were being honest, but then you wouldn't take your analysis, and that just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And you accounted for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
This question is more of a curiosity, but why did you drink methamphetamine?
I really don't know why I did it. I really can't even answer that.
No, I just wasn't sure if that's like a style of using methamphetamine that I wasn't aware of. Do people sometimes drink it?
I don't know. It's probably just because I didn't have a pipe to smoke it in, or,
okay,
you know.
Well, that certainly accounts for the fact that you were using a lot of methamphetamine, and I do want to thank you for being honest.
Yeah.
But those are my only questions. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Dunn?
Mr. Silver, I had a couple of questions. So, sir, prior to you being released from prison, were you doing methamphetamine while you were in the prison?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the current offense that you ended on, were you on methamphetamine when that incident happened?
I believe I was.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
No other questions? Okay, Mr. Javier, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion and making a determination shortly, but before we do, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. If there's anything else you'd like to tell the board, which you think might be pertinent to our decision, now would be the time. We just ask that you don't repeat all the information we've already covered, okay?
Okay, well, pretty much the only thing I want to say is, look, I do have a drug problem, and I always believe in honesty, but I believe that if I could get help out there, I could do better for myself, because I'm realizing that it's not for me. I just recently started going to church, and that overdose really did open my eyes up, and, you know, everything that I've done that's been bad, it's had to do with meth. And I'm just tired of it. And being incarcerated, and I mean, there's meth in here or whatever, you know. But what I'm saying is, I would just like a chance to go to rehab or get help, in other words. And that's about it. If I do get a chance to get out, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And if I did get out, I would appreciate it if that was part of my terms.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The board will be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. We may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. We'll be discussing the case. So we ask you to stay on the phone, but remain silent.
Yes, sir.
The entire conversation, and once we're finished, I'll be back, okay?
All right, thank you.
Board is now in discussion. Mr. Chavarria has obviously has a serious drug issue. It sounds like he's trying to make a decision that he needs to straighten that out and get out of his life so he can continue and be a successful member of society. But I don't know, it seems like he just really hasn't put any effort into getting the kind of programming and stuff he needs to be successful with breaking the habit. And actually, when he was released this time, he had an opportunity even to take it and go the other direction with it. And that may have been what, you know, put him over as far as turning the corner. But at this time, I'm very hesitant to return to community supervision. I just don't hear the conviction in his statements. They would assure me that he is going to really dig in and do what's necessary to break his methamphetamine addiction. But I'm only listening to discussing for many of my fellow board members, it might be. Okay, so based on all the information, warrant number 2018W3405, which is obviously his testimony and information from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to revoke committee supervision of Mr. Chavarria as he was delinquent, violating terms of social supervision, and had lapse or not lapse in the criminal or company.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself, seconded by the Rittenhouse, and agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Cummings. Okay, sir, the board is voting to revoke committee supervision at this time. We do want to see you successful and break your addiction. So we suggest that you partake of anything, especially the NA classes. When they move you around, most of the yards have Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous classes. Those 12-step programs can be very, very helpful in breaking addiction.
see if there's any other substance abuse courses you can get while you're in there.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, see if you can break that habit and make yourself a good plan so that when you get out, you won't relapse, okay?
Yes, sir.
We do wish you the best of luck. Hope your new year is successful and without problems.
Yes.
So, Mr. Webb, you're hearing, and will you please put the CO3 back on the wall?
All right, thank you.